And good morning. The time is 9:06. I'm Chad Holmes from our downtown studios, corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street in Wausau. Fairly pleasant start here this morning. Right now the clouds have moved in. 40 degrees is the temperature. It is hour number two of the Chad Holmes Show here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Started off as a wet weekend. It finished up as a pretty nice Sunday. But what can we expect weather-wise as we get into the new work week? Well, we're joined from Weatherology by our meteorologist, Jennifer Vucicki. And Jennifer, first of all, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, again, we had a lot of rain early in the weekend, Friday into Saturday, but then things turned out pretty nice. And it looks like it's going to be, at least here to start off the work week, pretty quiet weather-wise.
Yeah, so I mean, today we are looking at partial sunshine developing here for the day with a high getting up right around about the mid-50s here. We normally should be around about 60 degrees, the upper 50s, so slightly below average for this time of the year. And then for tonight, mostly cloudy, low near 37. Similar day for your Tuesday, maybe some areas of frost in the morning, otherwise mostly a blend of clouds and sunshine tomorrow, high around about 56 degrees. Looks like 59 here for your Wednesday. This will be our warmest day this forecast. It'll be more of an average day coming in. Cloudy skies with a chance for some rain showers coming into the area. Thursday, still a chance for rain. Cloudy, slightly cooler, high around about 55. And then on Friday, this looks like our coolest day, and it's going to be just slightly below average. Partial sunshine develops. High gets up around about 52.
Okay, well, again, I mean, not quite up to the normal high, but again, nice to be nice and quiet here for the next few days. Appreciate the information. We'll catch you again tomorrow.
No problem.
That's our meteorologist, Jennifer Vucicki, joining us from weatherology.com. Right now, again, here at our studios in downtown Wausau, overcast skies, temperature of 40 degrees. Winds are out of the northwest at 3 miles per hour. The dew point is 36. Our relative humidity is 86%. The barometer at 30.15 inches and a visibility of 10 miles. The time is 9:08. It is Monday. Chad Holmes with you. And very happy to welcome back into our new studios, I should say. And I should say welcome to our new studios. I know you were here with the Devil's Advocates about a month ago. But first time here that you are with us. And you can adjust the microphone.
Okay.
Feel free to move it around. And
adjust the chair. I'm a little short for this.
We're still working on getting the right chairs. In fact, I brought these in from the old place because I was sitting on the old ones here before, and it got... I'm getting too old to sit on those for a couple of hours, but very happy to welcome back into studio Katie Rosenberg,
yeah,
the mayor of
Wausau. Thanks for having me.
Well, at least you're in this. I'm going to start off by saying, it's Mayor's Monday, but I was going to say, no, that we can't say that because
I don't think it's trademarked. That's
somebody else. But at least we let you in the studio. I actually checked out your little discussion with the folks down the street, and they don't even let you in the studio. What's going on with that?
I got to ask you. It's better for all of us sometimes, you know? Like, we don't need World War anything.
I know it. But, you know, I was looking at the calendar. We're now mid-October.
Yeah, we are.
And I know we're going to talk. We only got a couple of minutes before our first break, so we're going to save the juicy stuff until after the break. But this time of year, I know that we're going to get more into the budget, but is budget right now one of the big things right now?
Absolutely. So we've been working on the budget since probably June, July.
Right.
But now the council gets their crack at it. We've already had our first budget meeting. We've got another one, I think, tomorrow. So we've got a lot going on. So I think we've got three or four scheduled.
What is the calendar for the budget right now? When do you want it to be, you know, basically locked and loaded that the council makes you basically approving it?
When will that be? Public hearing on November 1st. Really important to do November 1st. No, I think it's November 7th. That sounds right.
Early November.
The first meeting that we have in November is our public hearing. So we should probably look at the calendar. We'll get it for everyone when we come back.
There you go.
And then 2 weeks after that is when we expect the council to vote on it. We are pushing it forward a week so that we can get our property tax notifications out earlier than we have. It's really been a crazy rush the last 3 years, so this is hopefully going to help us out a little bit.
Has it been easier this time around?
No, it's awful.
I thought it was it was supposed to be easier because you get all this money from Madison.
Well, we do. We get $1 million more. Super exciting. Our health care insurance only went up 5%. Really excited about that. We were looking at 20 or more.
Oh,
so
wow.
It was rough. It's been a little, we have a lot more great ideas that we want to do to support the community. The community has great ideas. We have infrastructure needs. So no, it has not been easier. There's going to be probably a lot more no's this year than I've ever experienced in my life. And
really?
I'm probably going to be leading the no train. It's really rough.
Oh, geez. We're going to kind of delve into that, what the ideas are that you have and maybe what, you know, in terms, because I know the mayor gets an opportunity to put out priorities, but then of course, then you hand it off and then you get it back and like, where did all my ideas?
Luckily, we don't have a toxic relationship like the governor and the legislature. We work together on all of this.
How about that? Very interesting. But we're going to take a quick break, then come back and really delve in with the mayor of Wausau, Katie Rosenberg. The time is 9:12 again. Overcast skies. Temperature stands at 40 degrees. We'll be back with the mayor coming up in just over 2 minutes here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And Chad Holmes back with you here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. And the time is 9:16, overcast skies, 40 degrees. Let's continue on the budget real quickly. I have to admit, you know, after the state budget came through, mm-hmm. I'm like, man, it's going to be a lot easier for Mayor Rosenberg and for the council as well. What are your priorities? Because we mentioned the fact that for folks who are not familiar, you kind of put out a budget as the mayor, right?
Yep.
And then the council will take a look at it and everybody else will take a look at it. And then it'll go through the process. When you look at your budget, what are the priorities when you look at it?
Well, the number one expenditure that we always have, which is the same for probably every organization, is people. So we need people who are skilled, who are good with the community and all of that. So that's really the big part of our budget. So making sure that we're taking care of people is really mm-hmm. critical to me because those are the people that take care of you. And the other items, you know, that we're talking through, you know, we're talking still about water, right? We've accelerated our granular activated carbon project. So we're hoping to see that done by the middle of next year instead of the end. We hope that saves $1 million. You know, we have roads. We had a request for lots more hot mix for pothole filling. Mm-hmm. We've had, you know, restructuring requests. We've had places. I mean, we have facilities that have not been updated for, my lifetime.
Right.
So those are the kinds of things that are looking at. But, you know, it's really important for me that we're taking care of our people because they're taking care of our community. So
Water. Again, I was going to mention that. I mean, and the whole thing about, and again, you're proud to have it be your issue, but at the same time, it seems, lack of a better term, things always keep bubbling up. I mean, it's like, you know, every time that you think that you may be able to, you know, clear aside an issue in some, a certain area of the city, something else. Oh, now we got another issue with again, the water. Is this something we're going to be dealing with for a long time? I mean,
I certainly hope not. So, you know, the GAC should take care of our PFAS issues, at least for the rest of my time, you know, whether that's short or long. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we're talking about lead pipe remediation as well. Mm-hmm. We've got 8,000 left. We're hoping to get those done in 5 years. So really excited about that. But, you know, I'm hoping that we're now to the point where we're stable there. We can start talking about other, you know, infrastructure needs.
What about the bills? I know that it's been something that's been, you know, obviously people, when they see their bills, mm-hmm. they're always very concerned about it. I mean, it's a bill that you see as well as a resident of Wausau.
Yeah.
Exactly right. I know we've talked about you talking about, again, trying to, you know, to get grants and other ways of trying to, you know, balance it off. Compared to maybe where you thought we'd be a year ago, are we at a good place, not such a good place when it comes, number one, to the bills, and number one, just generally the water issue?
Yeah, so I would say this. You know, I really got a say on the PFAS stuff. So we're about halfway. We found grants and other awards to pay for about half of that. Mm-hmm. So we're at $7 million, and I would love to find another $7 million to pay for the rest of
that. $7 million is a good number, isn't it?
I know, yeah, it feels pretty good. But, you know, I mean, these are things that we do have to pay for with our rates. And, you know, all of that being said, like, it's settled now, right? The rates are set. I got my first bill, and it went up about $40. And it's just my husband and I. And mm-hmm. I would say I care a lot about the water. I try to conserve it. We're not, like, watering the lawn or anything.
Right.
But I'm maybe not as fastidious as some of my other green people. So there's probably ways to save a little bit more. I've heard some people that have giant gardens they watered all during the drought, their bills went up quite a substantial amount. But, you know, there are ways to do that too. You can get another meter if you're not using the sewer. There's stuff like this. So we also have grant programs. The city does. We filed through the state. So if there are people struggling with their water bills, we can help you. Call us up at Wausau Waterworks.
I'm going to maybe get people mad at me because they'll say, oh, you don't care. When I think about your health, when I think about the importance that water has for everybody, the idea, in your case, $40, and of course, as you said, some people be more, that seems like a small price to pay to me for people's health.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not asking you to, you know, to say that, you know, because I mean, every dollar I know these days is very, I mean, personally in my life, I know that, you know, when prices go up, you know, whether it's rent or anything,
time, right?
Exactly. But sometimes you got to pay for something that's important. And I can't think of very many more important things than making sure that the residents of the community are getting clean water.
Yeah, if it was any other, you know, public amenity, you know, we wouldn't be building a road that was, you know, the most glorious pathway since the Roman Empire, right? We wouldn't be doing that. But I think water, when it comes to this, we're reading all of the tea leaves too, right? We see what the federal government is going to be doing when it comes to PFAS regulation. We see that there's massive funding available through Inflation Reduction Act and bipartisan infrastructure law, and we're trying to capitalize on all of that. So this is the opportunity to do it, and I'm not going to be surprised when I see other communities are doing the same things. We're seeing it in Waukesha. We're seeing it in the southern parts of the state too. So this is just kind of where we're at, and I guess we're in a place where we're actually lucky to have water. I have mayors who are like, we don't even have access to this.
Well, I mean, obviously we've heard others who say, well, you know, people should decide themselves if they want to invest in the equipment that makes your water cleaner.
Right. Yeah,
but
sure.
That's a decision that you have to make in terms of a mayor, how active you're going to be with it. And I've always got the sense you're very comfortable being proactive as opposed to being reactive, where only the wealthy who can afford to get this special water cleaning equipment are able to do it. And that, which, again, I felt like was a stupid thing for somebody to say.
You know, we had the discussion at the council level, you know, years ago even, talking through what does environmental justice means. And it means access to the resources, right?
Right.
We want to make sure that people have access to safe water. I think that's critical. We saw that during the time of kind of us not knowing exactly what to do here. Mm-hmm. The folks who had a lot of money were able to buy reverse osmosis systems and other things that were able to filter it out for them, their families, which is great. We love that. But, you know, that also uses a lot of extra waste. And what are we doing with some of the systems afterwards? Mm-hmm. So this is fair for our community, and I know it's a heavy lift. And so I'm trying to balance those two things, but I think the priority has to be the health and safety here.
Well, again, we're talking to Wausau Mayor Katie Rosenberg here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. I think some people will be surprised to hear you say that you're saying no to some things. Oh, I mean, hey, liberal tax and spend liberal here, you know, Katie Rosenberg, when you're looking at some of the things that maybe, you know, that you're saying no to. I mean, there's some issues where you may want to be able to, but you always have to, I mean, every budget, whether it's a family budget or it's a municipal budget, it's about priorities. What are some areas that maybe that you have to say no at this point?
Yeah. So, you know, we've had requests. We have a lot of really great, innovative ideas for new positions. So some of those may come through, but I would guess that not all of them. We have some infrastructure requests when it comes to new facilities, and those are probably things that we'll have to, I want to make sure we're planning long term, because we have some projects that feel like they could go together. And if we just kind of thought about them together, maybe we can get a little more economical about that. So those are kind of the places I'm at. You know, I've talked to the finance chair. We're kind of in the same headspace here, which is really a good place to be. You don't like to be combative with your partners in governing. So I think we'll get to it, but there will be no's. You're going to see supplemental requests coming out that probably will maybe be pushed to next year or the year after, or maybe we can find some grant funding. You know, I've been I've been trying so hard to get money from the federal government in all their different pockets. USDA is a really great place. So if you're listening and you're part of government, check out the USDA grants. There's so much available there.
Where does, again, the issue of poverty and homelessness stand in this budget cycle?
Right. So we continue to fund our programming with Tracy, who has been our outreach specialist. And I think we've bumped up her budget a little bit here to make sure that she has the resources she needs. One of the things we're struggling with is that she can't do it alone. She's going to burn out. And I do worry about the effects of jobs on people. So we're trying to figure out ways to partner with other community organizations. And we found some that we didn't even know existed. So that's really great. We're working on that. So you'll probably see a little extra funding going there. Obviously, affordable housing is still a top priority. We have at least $1 million allocated from ARPA funding to continue building as long as we can get it zoned and all of that. We want to build. So that's kind of where we're at there.
Let me ask you to kind of maybe more of a big picture thought in terms of that issue, because it is an issue that's being pushed and it's a very important issue, obviously. And as we look long term, you mentioned again about one position and getting a little bit more funding. How do you look at it big picture? Is this something that we can eradicate or almost eradicate over a certain amount of time? Because I think sometimes when you look at budgets, you always think about 1 year, you know, instead of thinking about trying to take a problem and trying to fix it over a certain length of time. What is the priority when it comes to that issue, not just with yourself, but within others, within city government, within, I would think, you know, public safety and everything else? I mean, in terms of the entire community, and also, I guess, with activists and those like that who are talking a lot about it. How do we look maybe in a bigger picture within that?
Yeah, so it's one of those things that came up during our strategic planning process. So this is something that we're going to keep tackling, right? It's, we've said that we care about it. So first off there, I think when it comes to what the city can do, we're feeling the limitations of our ability to kind of curb and support with what we have right now. So, you know, we're looking out, is there any opportunity for us to partner with county with their services? They're stretched super thin too. It's really hard right now. I've reached out to folks in the White House. What do you have available? Largely, there are a lot of veterans groups who really want to support what we're doing. So thinking through, like, how do we make sure we're tackling that issue in those, you know, different silos of people, but also, like, recognizing more people need help than we can ever help. And this has been probably since the last millennia, right? But it needs to continue being front of mind. And I know it's a painful conversation and that it's very emotional. And it's very visible, probably more visible than we've ever seen in our life.
And the thing about it as well is there can be a very big difference between people who see what you are doing you know, and I think there are people that always see what's not being done. Right. I mean, that's, I think, you know,
I think
a lot of
the hard part.
Right. And I think that, you know, it's one of those, as you said, I think with sometimes the emotional aspect does sometimes get in a way, in a sense. It can push us forward, but right. It can also cause some issues as well, correct?
Right, yeah. And so, you know, one of the things that we did just at the beginning of October was we held a community meeting for the community on call, is what we're calling it. Mm-hmm. And that came out of the discussions we've been having about these topics with our friends at United Way, Neighbor's Place, all of that. And what we want to do is make sure in extreme weather situations, we have a place for people to be. Mm-hmm. And we don't want to be scrambling the day of. So we're going to have organizations sign up to be on call for, you know, a week, a month, whatever. And if there's extreme weather, they open their doors and, you know, we get people there. We get the cots there. We still have everything. We have the hot meals. It's a way for our community to be engaged in the solution, which I think is really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's still like that is addressing a symptom.
Yes.
Long term. Like, I don't know what to do. Some people can't live by themselves.
And also real fast, we have to take a break here.
What is happening?
But this is, again, something that has to be connected between the federal, the state, and local governments.
Trying.
Correct?
Try to lasso us all together.
Exactly.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. We got to take a break. We'll come back with more with Mayor Katie Rosenberg here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And welcome back, Chad Holmes, here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app, Monday morning, 9:33, and again.
It's a little early.
A little early, come on. I bet you've been going for all 5 hours, right?
Oh, yeah, we've been up a little bit.
And the voice you hear is the mayor of Wausau.
Causing a scene over
I'm going to get you a better chair next time, I tell you. Whatever's happening over there.
I wore the wrong earrings for this, So everything's kind of flying around. So we're good.
Mayor Katie Rosenberg with us. Well, let's get to the juicy stuff because...
Oh, juicy, huh?
Everybody's favorite... friend from the southern part of the state, one Mr. Terrence Wall and T-Wall Enterprises.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk to me about the governor.
Oh, Terry Wall. We got to talk about Terry Wall because doggone it. Okay. Last week, the council got together.
Yeah, we did.
Gave an extension to T-Wall Enterprises till June 1st of 2024.
Yep.
After they had missed their initial...
Relatively low risk, benign in theory.
Okay, let's delve into it because obviously around September 1st, right after the deadline passed, and I think maybe on September the 2nd, where Terry Wall put out some nasty statements, really ripping on members of the Common Council, and basically it was an odd statement for somebody still trying to work together. Ultimately... You said last time you were here, hey, we have to make sure that we are covering ourselves here.
Yes.
This is a situation where we can't just blindly give an extension here. We have to make sure it works for us. Ultimately, you went through that process.
Yep.
Last week, the council with, I think, 3 dissenting votes decided, okay, we are going to give the extension.
Yep.
Talk about the process that got you to this point and why this is the best thing for Wausau.
Oh, my. So the process, you know, has obviously been 5 years in the making since the city went in and bought the mall with Waz. So I think that ultimately the idea is that we want local ownership of this space. Okay, that's one of the facts. And we want lots of housing here, right? We were just talking about the housing study that we did regionally, and Wausau alone needs 525 units. By the end of 25, because that's the need right now. We expect more need later. So one of our goals in our strategic plan is to build more housing. And so this is one of those opportunities. So if we're just looking at the facts of like the opportunity to have, you know, maybe 130 new units, that's awesome. That's great. We like that.
And that is the number Foundry on 130. Is that correct? Somewhere in that general area?
Somewhere, you know, 30, 50.
And it's mixed use,
you know,
also.
Yeah, it is mixed use. They'll be shopping. Truly, I've looked at some of the developments that he's done elsewhere, and they've turned out really great, right?
Mm-hmm.
So where they've turned out great. So I think... We are dealing in Wausau with a lot of trust issues, which are fair. We have lots of fair trust issues. Mm-hmm. And we want to make sure that we're guarding our city's resources appropriately. And, you know, we did a reverse TID on this, so we haven't handed out any dollars to anybody. You can see some of the stuff behind us and hear it with some of the road building that we're doing and some of the approaches we're doing with the Children's Museum. But largely, over winter, there's not a lot of construction going on. So I think the council was comfortable saying, all right, We'll let you get started next year, but you got to get started next year. Otherwise, we're not going to be in the same spot. We promise.
What does T-Wall say about this? Have they said, okay, you've given us this extension. We are ready to go.
I mean, that's the message I've been getting from Nick, who has been our representative. So I'm feeling good about that. But, you know...
What about Terry?
I think it's a fair question to ask that because, you know, immediately after our council meeting where he got what he wanted, starts lambasting our council members again, which is not helpful at all. Like, it's not helpful to our community. It's not helpful.
Real quickly, what more does he want from Wausau?
I don't know.
I mean, because I don't know either. I don't understand this where it feels like Wausau has been a good partner here.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you. That is not clear for me. Maybe I need to be better at, like, ego stroking, but that's not really my jam.
No. How important is this project? Because
it's critical.
It is, and that's the thing.
Are you seeing this?
Yes. The thing about it is... that there's still questions that it's going to get done because that if it doesn't get done that would be really it would really be a bad,
it's really critical,
it would break a leg of Wausau, wouldn't it?
Yeah, we got to get it done. We got to get more housing. We got to get something that's great downtown. You know, our local downtown businesses have been shouldering all of the effects of not having something there, even just physically, right? Like, right. The wind tunnel effect is wild. So it's really important that we get this work done. And we really hope that we can get this done with T-Wall Enterprises. Obviously, we think the project looks good.
Mm-hmm.
And we think that it'll be good for people. We just got to, this is painful. Development process is painful. I've asked some of my other mayors, I'm like, how do you do this? I'm like, oh, it always sucks. So, you know, and even when I'm talking to our development team, and saying like the developers I really liked working with, and mm-hmm. like, oh, you have no idea. I was like, okay, maybe I don't, but at least they're not lambasting our public officials on the.
And I got to give a lot of credit to you and the council to hear that, mm-hmm. and yet you take a step back because it would be real easy, I imagine, to get really angry and say, I don't want to work with this guy anymore.
Yeah.
And yet you have to look at the big picture. What is best for our community? And I give a lot of credit that you've been able to say, okay, as much as maybe we don't like what we're hearing, that he's getting personal here, what can we do to try to get this project, and as you said, the important the housing aspects, the important mm-hmm. business aspects going? And I do think that you and the council deserve a lot of credit for being able to get past that and not making it personal.
Yeah, we're trying. It's awful, though. I will say, like, there's a lot of ego in politics. I don't know how you run without thinking that you have good ideas. So,
right,
you know,
right.
It's hard to balance that, and it's a practice.
Beyond Foundry on 3rd, again, we were talking in the break about the housing issue, mm-hmm. which is such a vital issue. And basically, I said your dog chasing its tail because you're behind. And even when you add more, you're still going to be behind unless you really are able to get ahead of the curve. But at the same time, we're still having these issues where there are opportunities that are being voted down.
Mm-hmm.
How frustrating is that?
Oh, that's super frustrating.
And what can be done either to, I guess, open the eyes of some people and get away from maybe this not in my backyard mentality that we're seeing in some of these issues.
I think what I pulled out of the discussions and the folks who showed up to be against kind of the rezones of a variety, it's been several mm-hmm. projects, is that they just want more engagement from us. They want to be part of this process, and it's not always possible, but you know, where we're leading the process, it is possible. So we've done this process that's been very interesting on Thomas Street with visual preference surveys and things with the community so they could tell us, what are you looking for? What do you need? Mm-hmm. What are you willing to put up with? And that has been really productive. So I'm hopeful that we'll have a really good project coming forward relatively soon here, maybe in the next few months. So
always just beyond the
it's
reach,
always there,
you know,
right?
You
yeah.
know,
I want to say November, but I'm like, is that right? Or was that something else?
Again, we're talking to Mayor Katie Rosenberg here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. What about, again, the issue of contamination? Mm-hmm. We've seen that, again, pop up here recently. I kind of, it's similar to the whole water issue, because I do think they're connected in the sense that, you know, things that happened decades ago keep popping up here in our community. I mean, there has to be a frustrating aspect to that. Mm-hmm. Are we getting to the point where we're going to stop seeing some of this? Because that's going to be incredibly frustrating, where you're almost circling back again to fix problems that were in the past.
Yeah, I don't know who decided that we should allow corporations to, you know, just regulate themselves, but that was probably a bad call. And we didn't know the kinds of things that people were making, right? We just didn't know until they told us. I don't know if you've watched the documentary Dark Waters.
I have not.
It's horrifying. So, like, the idea of folks regulating themselves and doing the best for the community is not necessarily the right, you know, is not necessarily right. So mm-hmm. we have these legacy problems from manufacturing, all of that. You know, maybe they didn't even know what they were doing. Maybe they didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And so our tests are getting better. We are able to remediate a little bit more quickly. So, like, that's something that we can do as a community for the people who live here. We would love to hold the polluters accountable.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're doing with our lawsuits. That's what we're doing with other things. But I think that's the big thing we have to do now is we're going to remediate and we're going to hold the polluters accountable. We have to.
I know that, you know, those processes go very slowly.
It's awful.
Where is it moving at all, these lawsuits? Or do you feel still confident in terms of where ultimately this is going to lead to?
Yeah, I feel really good about even just this first lawsuit. You know, that one seems to be coming to a head.
Which is the first one?
It is the one with 3M. So that one seems to be coming to a head. You know, there's, of course, lots of back and forth happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm feeling good. There's a couple more coming through.
Mm-hmm.
So you can expect to see more when those kind of get to court and are decided or settled. We don't know.
Right.
It's been this is another one of those interesting things where the levels of government are working together or not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were ready with the settlement earlier this year, and the attorneys general came in and said, hold up a second, we got a problem with this, and they kind of put their fingerprints all over it too, which it's good. It ends up better for all of our shared constituents. So I'm cool with that. You know, I know that our attorney general has a good look at what he needs to.
Something I mentioned earlier too that I wanted to make sure we talked about today, because I keep missing it, because I do think it's something that's important. I know that others do as well, is the idea of really good public transportation.
And I
think it's fair to say that what we have, and I'm not just saying Wausau, but I'm talking about central Wisconsin, because we are all connected,
whether
it's Rothschild, Schofield, Cronin, Wetter, Rib Mountain, you know it all. And the idea of trying to improve, and I know it's something that you've been looking at and there's been discussions. Is there hope at this point that we could see some sort of improvement with the way that we are connected with public transportation in our communities?
Yeah, I would say for me, that discussion is never, ever, ever off the table. I always want to have that discussion. I want to share what we know, and I want to bring more people in. You know, we've talked about this. We have the Metropolitan Planning Organization that is all of our municipalities in the county.
Mm-hmm.
So we talk through this all the time. They have the Transportation Coordinating Committee. They have a duty to provide transportation for folks who maybe have a disability or are elderly. So they rely on us. So I think we can do better by working together. I think it hasn't been a priority, and it's been easy to cut. And it's been easy to not fund for, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is a new thing now. I don't know how long it's been, maybe 10 years since we've had this partnership. So there's that. There's also opportunities through federal funding, right? We use diesel buses, and right now the federal government is like, you know, we're not super interested in funding diesel buses anymore. We want you to go electric. So that kind of changes a lot about what we know about ourselves and how we need to you know, steward this process. We have to change.
And also, and again, I know I've been talking to you that this has to be a partnership.
Mm-hmm.
This has to be where it's not just...
Oh, yeah, there's a state law.
Right. But at the same time, getting other folks to be engaged in terms of saying, okay, this is a number that we need to work with.
Yep.
That, I mean, it's got to be very difficult because there's multiple municipalities involved.
Like, I can't go to Rib Mountain and say, hey, for 1 year of bus service, we would like to charge you $700,000. You know what they're going to say? What? I don't think so.
That's a line item that they don't want to have in there.
Yeah, so that's really a tough thing. And we, of course, also want their partnership. So we're trying to figure out how can we make this happen. And truly, I know we were talking about this during the break, and maybe it's too early to even say anything about it. But, you know, having the school district engaged in conversations about transit might be helpful. because, you know, we do need to make sure that kids can get to school.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe this is an opportunity for us to shore up this this whole communication.
And that's one of the interesting aspects as well, because there are issues with school transportation that mm-hmm. are completely separate than all the other transportation issues. I mean, they're just, I mean, it's where maybe you're able to put something together that solves more than one problem is something
right.
that obviously you as a mayor would love
right?
to be able to do. But obviously that also leads to other layers of complexities within these issues, which you every day probably have to deal with.
Oh, it's a lot of fun. Yes. There's a lot of people who have their finger in that pot, and we want to make sure that we're able to give the service that they need. And of course, like students, that's a really good priority. We already serve many students in the Wausau School District. We have those buses that go up to their school.
Right.
They don't even have to stop.
Right. And we got about a minute to go, and I want to go back to where we started about budget, because you said people can have their voice be heard. I think
absolutely.
Is very important to underline the fact that if you are somebody that has an issue or multiple issues that you want to talk about, the best way to get people's attention is to come and talk about it
absolutely.
In front of you.
Absolutely. Okay, so I just looked at my calendar. The public hearing for our budget is November 7th. Okay. We don't have an election this year, so, you know, you have some time free. So show up, let us know your priorities, or if that's not a thing you like, email us. We all take your emails very seriously, even if we can't respond if we're deluged. You can call,
mm-hmm.
whatever it is. Come to my office. Talk to your Alder.
The only way the system works is with citizen engagement. It really,
100%.
It is so true. I mean, please.
November 7th.
Be there.
Put it on your calendar.
Mayor? Thank you very much.
Thank you
we'll
so much.
We'll get you back next month. The time is 9:47. More to come here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Again, thanks to Wausau Mayor Katie Rosenberg for joining us. I want to underline what we finished with, because I really wanted to say that when you look at maybe some of the issues going on right now in government, both at the federal level and at the local level, and you can talk about the state level as well, so much of it is because you got folks who are not being, I would say, pushed in the right direction at times by the people. Because if you're just going to sit back and let the Jim Jordans of the world decide what's best for you, you're going to get the kind of representation that you deserve. If there are issues within the city of Wausau that are important to you, come and speak at these public budget meetings. There are, you know, decisions that will have to be made. But ultimately, our system only works as well as the people that are behind it. And I'm not just talking about the elected officials, but the communities themselves. You have to be active. You have to be able to let your voice be heard, because, again, this is a system of the people. We have a representative system where we do decide to send, you know, different folks to different positions and represent us at the local, state, and federal level. But at the same time, you do have to make sure that you are letting your voice be heard and telling your elected officials what are your priorities. What are the things that you want from your community? And this is a great opportunity coming up in the next few weeks at the public budget hearings coming up in the city of Wausau. Today, it is Monday, the 16th of October of 2023. Some famous events have occurred on this date in history. Not a good day for Marie Antoinette. It was on this date in 1793 that Marie Antoinette was beheaded during the French Revolution. boy, I bet you some of you that have, you know, were coming of age back in the early 1960s may remember this. It was on this date in 1962 that the Cuban Missile Crisis began, as President John F. Kennedy was informed that reconnaissance photographs had revealed the presence of missile bases in Cuba. And it would not be a one-day crisis. It would be lasting quite a while. I'm sure we'll hear more about this in coming days as well. But it was on this date in 1962 the Cuban Missile Crisis began. This one I can remember way back in 1987. Rescuers freed Jessica McClure, an 18-month-old girl who had been trapped in an abandoned well for 58 hours in Midland, Texas. Baby Jessica freed on this date in 1987. On this date in 2002, I bet you remember this as well, after an interesting run-up where some of the information ultimately turned out to be false, it was on this date in 2002 that President George W. Bush signed a congressional resolution authorizing war against Iraq. And, of course, then Secretary of State Colin Powell had gone in front of the United Nations with some so-called evidence that turned out to be incorrect. Definitely put a black mark on the incredibly impressive career of Colin Powell. But then a war began in Iraq that turned out to be a mistake. It was a mistake, but it was on this date that the President of the United States, George W. Bush, signed that congressional resolution authorizing war against Iraq. On this date in 2011, the Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial was formally dedicated in Washington, D.C. On this date in 2016, Ed Whitlock, at age 85, became the oldest person to complete a marathon in under 4 hours at the Toronto Waterfront Marathon. Ed finished in 3 hours, 56 minutes, and unfortunately, Ed now deceased. And on this date in 2019, Netflix revealed its most popular original movie for the year was Sandra Bullock's Bird Box, and most popular series for the year was Stranger Things. Some famous people are celebrating their birthdays here on October the 16th. Barry Corbin, actor from Northern Exposure and One Tree Hill, turns 83 years old today. Actor Tim Robbins, The Shawshank Redemption, Mystic River, but I remember him most, Bull Durham. Bull Durham, what a great movie that was. He was Nuke LaLoosh in that one. And Tim Robbins turning 65 years old today. Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers is 61 years old today. Actor Kelly Martin from Christie and Life Goes On is 48. Singer John Mayer turning 46 years old today. Tennis player Naomi Osaka is 26 years old today. And Ruby Rose Turner, actress from Fuller House, is 18 years old today. And if you out there celebrating your birthday, happy birthday to you from all of us at Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Some events being acknowledged this week and today. It is Freedom from Bullies Week, Business Women's Week. It is Chemistry Week. It is also Food Bank Week, Friends of Libraries Week, Pharmacy Week, School Bus Safety Week, Rodent Awareness Week, a Veterinary Technicians Week. It is Freedom of Speech Week, Medical Assistance Recognition Week. It is also Nuclear Science Week, Boss Day, Global Cat Day today. Cut Up Your Credit Card Day. That could be a good one. It is Department Store Day, Liqueur Day. Also, Dictionary Day. It is Learn a Word Day. Also, Sunday School Teacher Appreciation Day. It is Steve Jobs Day. Also, World Food Day and World Spine Day. And our number for the day is 446. That is the size in acres of the average American farm. 446. By comparison, the average average Canadian farm is 809 acres, so Canadian farms are much bigger, but 446 size in acres, the average American farm. Well, that's going to wrap up this Monday edition of the Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Coming up tomorrow morning at 9:15, we will be joined by Chad Daly from the Marathon County Public Library. Talk about what's going on at the library and more. That's coming up tomorrow. Also, don't forget, stick around all day, all night right here on Bow Falls Radio. Great stuff coming up from 10 until noon. It's Askos, Wisconsin. Jane Mattenier substituting for Kristen Bry. Then coming up from noon until 1, it's Town Call. From 1 until 3, the Todd Alba Show. 3 until 4, Matt Flynn Direct. Of course, the Devil's Advocates coming up from 4 until 6. And then the Maggie Dawn Show from 6 until 7. No reason to turn your radio dial anytime, all day and all night. Again, thanks to Mayor Rosenberg for joining me. And thanks to you for joining me. I'll be back tomorrow morning from 8 until 10 a.m. for the Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230.